Time to get out and change the game.
Yep.
Yeah, get out in front. And during our first, during part one of this, in these three series, we've learned that we can get out in front of the devil. Jesus is our example. He did that. That we can be led and not driven. Amen? And we can make God our source.
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is. If God is your source, the Word of God is right there. That's your source. If you're a doer of the Word, you're tapping into the source. Right, Em? But today we're going to be talking about authority in life. Authority in life. And we need to realize the tremendous authority that God has delegated to us and the anointing that he has given us to operate in his authority. But we'll never really walk in the fullness of it until we understand that it's not just a little authority. It doesn't come in grades as you master this, you get a little more. No. He has given you all of his authority.
Amen.
It's his very own authority to which every created thing is subject to. Everything was created by the Word of God. Therefore, everything is subject to the Word of God, ultimately. And the Word of God was given to us to build into our heart, to build in that truth, and to speak it out. And to declare it in the earth here. That's the landscape that God has given us. He created all things. Then he put us here and delegated all authority unto us. When he said to Adam, he said this. It says, and God blessed them, Adam and Eve. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the face of the earth. And the one thing he didn't put on that authority was any condition. No caveats to say, as long as you do this, you'll have authority. As long as you do that, you do that. No, it was carte blanche authority. And with no limitations to it. No limitations to it. And then he went ahead. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. This thing was designed to go on and on and on and on and on. You know, in dealing with people and listening to them, just communicating and back and forth with people, it's become more apparent to me that we really need a fuller revelation of the authority that we've been given, its source, how it's what we have and don't have. Good people, people who are saved, people who really do love God, want to experience the freedom that only God can give, really need a revelation of this, of what we have in the earth simply by virtue of the fact that we're human beings. Did you know that a lost man, a man who is not born again, a lost individual, has more authority in this earth than the devil? Did you know that a snake has more authority in this earth than the devil? Did you know that a pig has more authority in this earth than a devil? Than the devil? All those things are true, but it needs some explanation. And but first let me say this. You know, I woke up this morning and I was really grateful. I was grateful to walk with brothers and sisters who know what it means, who understand that the price has been paid, to understand that everything has been complete, the finished work, who understand and believe that Jesus called us to do everything that he did and greater things than these. People who believe the Bible, who believe that the ability of God lives and abides in them. That day-to-day radical faith, the type of faith it takes to overcome the world and the forces of this world, lives in you. And I'm glad to be walking with people that we can fellowship. You know, when I was first saved, I went to a church that was very rigid in a fundamentalist type of thing. It was all doctrine. There was no spirit in it. And I stayed there until I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I was promptly given the left foot of fellowship from amongst those people. And I migrated over to the charismatic people that were in my immediate area there in Woodbridge, Connecticut. And after a while, I became increasingly uncomfortable there too, because there was too much emphasis on feelings, goosebumps, and not on the word, certainly not on the principles that the Word of God taught, that Jesus taught about the principles of the kingdom of heaven and how to operate in those principles. These are the things that the Holy Spirit reveals to you if you're open. But if you're constantly over here towards the goosebumps, and I've seen the fruit, and you know what, the visions, the dreams, all that is good stuff. It's in the Bible. But I've seen the fruit of too many people who have become dependent on the goosebumps, dependent on the feelings, dependent on the visions, dependent on the dreams, and wonder why, when they don't happen, what's wrong. And chasing after those things and putting them as a priority, I've seen them depart from the Word. They're no longer tapping into the Word. They're basing it on experiences. And experiences are wonderful, but they've got to be a product of the Word of God. The Word of God has to be our ultimate foundation for truth, because I've seen people depart from them, giving heed to seducing spirits. It's the Word of God. You can't, there's no shortcuts. You've got to understand and get the foundational things of the Word of God in order to walk in faith, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But anyhow, I'm blessed that I have that fellowship with you guys, and it's just wonderful. How many of you know that fellowshipping around feelings and goosebumps and visions, and it only goes so far? Because feelings change with the wind. Goosebumps come and go, but the Word of the Lord is never changing. It's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, Colossians 2:8 says this. It says, "Let no man spoil you through vain philosophy or vain deceit, philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, the rudiments of this world." The rudiments of this world are all based on feeling, your knowledge base, based on physical things. Your knowledge base is primarily made up of your physical senses. So we tend to follow our physical senses, and we want to see this. Don't tell me that faith stuff. I want to see something. That's what your flesh says. But you see, it delights God that we walk by faith. Once you walk by faith, then you'll see. Go to the first chapter of Genesis. God said, 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 God said. And at the end of that first chapter, and God saw, what did he see? What he said. Your life is a product of the words that you have declared. God has given you the right to put his word in your heart and to speak his word with your mouth. As far as we know, there's no other created being in the universe who has been given that right. Angels can't speak anything they want to speak. You can. You can. Oh, where did I go here? I have notes here, but sometimes we take these little trails. The message of authority in life really needs to be understood in order to understand that we, not the devil, have been given the authority, God's authority in the earth. Some people think the devil has this much authority and we have this much authority. No, 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 that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that when the devil fell, he abdicated any angelic power he had, and he's been using the very power and authority that God has given you. He's hiding behind that. He used man as a hostage. Jesus said, "The Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom Jesus ransomed his own life for you. He was. Isn't that good? Praise God, it's good. So the devil has zero authority. In fact, I like what Andrew Womack says. He's just a zero with a rim knocked off. I said he's a zero with the rim knocked off.
Amen.
Boy, that ought to make you shout. That ought to, there's a lot of chandelier swinging on that one. Because you're free.
Amen.
When Jesus rose from the dead, every man, woman, and child became totally free from the devil's grip.
That's right.
Woo! Glory to Jesus. Where are we here? Okay, well, let's turn in our Bibles. We're going to talk about authority in life. You have authority in life. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Let's get ready to take God at His word and commit to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Say that. I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
Of the word of God.
The word of God.
I'm not a hearer only.
Not a hearer only.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
So, let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This word is God speaking to me. And so, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now, is this God speaking?
Amen.
Yeah. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Are you in Christ?
Yes.
Or are you in Adam?
We are in Christ.
We are in Christ. We've been translated into a new race, a new species of being that never existed before Jesus rose from the dead. You're born again. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Underline that. In Christ Jesus. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Underline that again. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So far in the series, we've examined two primary spiritual laws that operate in this world. You have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You have the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life operates, is supplied and supported and empowered by the anointing of God. That's what Christ means. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one. And since the anointing and the anointed one cannot be separate, because in order to make the anointed one, he has to have the, you can't separate it. The anointed one and his anointing, Jesus is filled with the anointing of God, dripping with the anointing of God, and he lives in you. And he operates according to the laws of life by the Spirit of God. The law of sin and death, however, operates through the flesh. Jesus said the flesh profits nothing. Amen. So, the flesh is not, when I'm talking about the flesh, I'm not talking about this, your skin and bones. The flesh is a mindset. We can, because the Word of God talks about crucifying our flesh. If you crucify this, you're in trouble. But if you crucify the flesh, the mindset of the flesh, now you're talking. Now you're in the place where you can start renovating that mind. Out with the old thoughts, in with the new. Out with the old knowledge base, in with the new, the knowledge of God. This stuff is good. So we talked about getting out in front. Getting, and you know you can. Jesus got out in front of the devil. And he exposed him so many times and got him in so many traps. He exposed the Pharisees and all of their hypocrisy and all of their dead religion and all of this. And he one right after another.
Yes.
And the devil just started trapping himself and trapping. And then Jesus, being out in front, just led the devil into the biggest trap ever set for anyone at any time, anywhere. He trapped him. And the devil, if the devil knew this, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory, it says. And he let himself right into his own trap. And in that crucifixion, Jesus completed the greatest mission in the history of the world, the redemption of mankind.
Amen.
That's when he redeemed you and me. And we have something to dance about, something to sing about, something to shout about, that Jesus made me free. I'm so glad. Jesus made me free. Get out in front. Let the devil fall in his own traps. You can get out in front, and we've talked about that already. And we talked about being led and not driven. Driven! Coming! Fear.
That's right.
They make this big deal. COVID, it's everywhere. And they're trying to create a masked race, I think. I don't know. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made you free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
And COVID operates through the law of sin and death.
Amen.
All of that stuff does.
Amen.
We learned how not to be driven, how to resist it, and how to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
Then last week we talked about making God your source. How do you do that? Make the Word of God your source. The Word is God. Mm-hmm. If you need a promise, if you need some kind of a direction, everything that you ever need is in the Word of God. And if you can't find it, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. He'll help you find it. But He always points back to the Word. The Holy Spirit didn't come here to magnify Himself. He came here to get you back to Jesus, to point you to Jesus, to glorify Jesus, to take the things of Jesus and show them to you. Make God your source. You know, if your body is sick, people are so quick to run to the doctor or run to the medicine cabinet. I'm not saying you shouldn't go. If you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. If you need medicine, go to medicine. But you know what? Pray first.
Yes.
God may have a suggestion about that to get that stuff out of your life so that it doesn't recur and recur and recur and get you on that wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of those medicines, have you ever heard all of this stuff? Well, and it can produce a fatal episode. That's what they call it. They don't say it can kill you. But sometimes the remedies are worse.
Yes.
You know, the consequences are worse than the actual sickness itself. And I'll tell you what, as sin has escalated, ever since we took prayer out of school in the 60s, I grew up, we said the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and everything.
Yeah.
We took prayer out of school one day, and then within a few years we were murdering unborn babies.
Mm-hmm.
This country has gone, and as sin has escalated in this country, look at our government. As sin has escalated, there's diseases coming out now that weren't even around when I was a kid. They weren't there. They had no names. Now they're coming up with new names, new medicines that are all synthetic, and they produce something else that's bad in you.
Yep.
So be careful. Pray first. Pray first. God has a better answer.
Yes.
Amen? Now, you say, well, what if it's not God's will to heal me?
Hmm.
Well, then why are you going to the doctor to undo God's will? See, inside you know that it's not God's will for you to be sick.
Amen.
That's right.
Inside, you know that. It's like it's in you. It's an instinctive knowledge that it's not God's will for you to be sick. But don't say it's God's will and then go take medicine to undo God's will.
That's right.
That is just so bad. It's like, duh! I mean, clang, clang, clang. These alarms ought to be going off in your head just saying, yeah, well, I guess this is wrong, but I need to lay on.
Yep.
The wheel in the sky keeps on turning. And I don't know where I'll be tomorrow. game, don't we? Change the game. You can do it. We talked about the law of sin. We talked about being driven through condemnation. And condemnation is something that the devil uses to alienate us from God in our own minds. We're not alienated from God in his mind, in our mind. And when you're alienated from God, you don't come to him. You don't ask, so you don't receive. You don't seek, so you don't find. You don't knock, so there's nothing to answer. God has made himself at your disposal. But if you're alienated from him, and this is something the devil knows, then you'll stop. Then what comes is fear. Then comes guilt. And all kinds of other things. He piles on, and then you're like that rat on the wheel that's going around and around and around, trying to do something, trying to manufacture something in order to appease or please God, and you can't do it because Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. Faith sees God as a rewarder. So stop what you're doing. Let it drop. Say, I know there's nothing I can do to please you, but I know that my faith and my trust in you is what you want, what you desire. And that is the key to overcoming the world, even our faith. Amen?
Amen.
Boy, that was good. That came right off, hot off the wire right there. Better take that. The law of the Spirit of life doesn't drive, it empowers through the anointing of God. That Christ is an empowerer. It's the anointing. The anointing of the Spirit of God empowers us to operate in the law of life.
Yes.
What does that anointing do? Let's look at it. Isaiah the prophet prophesied towards in the time of Jesus. And he said, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden, the devil's burden, shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his, the devil's yoke, from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of what?
The anointing.
The anointing of God, what does it do? It removes burdens. It destroys yokes. Mm. Now that word, I've heard people say, yeah, the anointing breaks the yoke. It doesn't break the yoke.
Mm,
the anointing does not break the yoke. It destroys it.
Amen.
It grinds it to power so that it can never be used again.
Mm, that's good.
Mm. It's a corrosive thing. That's good to know.
Amen.
See, God knows who the burden giver is, and who the yoke giver is, the yoke of bondage. And he says, okay, that burden will be removed from you. That bondage will be removed from you through the anointing of God. The anointing of God. Sin and death drives, forces, dominates, keeps you under his thumb. The law of life supplies, empowers, and strengthens us in righteousness. Consciousness. Too much of the church has a sin consciousness, where every time they think of God, they think of what they're guilty of. That's sin consciousness. What we need to do is develop a righteousness consciousness, and righteousness means right standing with God. That you are in right standing with God, not because of anything you did, but because of what Jesus did. His blood covered it all. His death, burial, and resurrection was the completion of your redemption. You can't do anything to add to it. You can only believe and receive. Believe and take. Trust and take. Law of life supplies, gives you a righteousness consciousness. And in doing so, it renews your mind. And we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. That transformation involves a release of the anointing into those areas of your life that you need. Amen. It destroys yokes. It destroys yokes. It removes burdens and empowers you to walk above them. And I want to stress this too, that these two laws are not two laws that are just floating out here somewhere. No. There is no spiritual law that operates independent of man. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus operates through man. The law of sin and death operates through man. They operate through us. In the beginning, God gave Adam dominion over all the earth and everything that creeps on it, the cattle, and fly over. He gave him dominion over the whole thing. That never changed. Even after the fall, man still had dominion.
That's right.
You know why? Because the devil just can't do stuff. He needs human cooperation to do anything in this world. A little closer to home, he needs your cooperation to do anything in your life. And he knows how to get your cooperation. I'll show you that in a few minutes. But here, there's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There is the law of sin and death. Where am I going with this? Why am I hammering this so much? Well, how does the law of sin and death and how does the law of the spirit of life work? How do I cooperate with the laws of life? How do I avoid operating in the laws of death, sin and death? Look at the screen. It says the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. This is your dominion. You have been given the earth. Now look at the screen. Where is the power? Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Oh, my back is killing me. I can't do this job anymore. I hate this job. You have the ability to speak life or to speak death. You have the ability to speak righteousness or sin. You have to speak blessings of God or curses. You wonder why good things happen, bad things happen to good people? And why good things happen to bad people? Everybody do that. You got a correcto? You remember those little typewriter correct things?
Yeah.
You need to put that on your tongue. Because death and life, it doesn't say the power of death and life. No. The power is with you. Death and life are already in existence. The death and life are in the power or the authority of your own tongue. That's why the devil fights so hard to get control of your tongue. He wants you to speak his words of death. He wants you to speak his words of sin. He wants you to speak his words of sickness and poverty and curses.
Amen.
That's what he wants you to do. Look at this. In James chapter 3 it says, "If from many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body." That word perfect means mature, full. "Behold, look, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm or a rudder, wherever the governor wishes. Even so the tongue, even so, like a bit, like a rudder, is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell." Sobering. But this is the word of God. It's the word of God. You know, think about this. A horse is a huge animal. It's a beast. And the average horse, anywhere from 900 to 2,000 pounds. I mean, that thing is huge. And it can kill you in a nanosecond, one kick. It has a lot of power, raw power. But you put one little bit in that horse's mouth, and he becomes your servant. Isn't that cool? And you can ride that horse. And one thing horses love to do, they love to run just as fast as they can. And you hold those reins and you take that bit, you can turn them right, you can turn them left. You can stop him, or you can let him go. You direct, you with that little bit, you direct them. With that little rudder, you think of a clipper ship. And Lori and I grew up in the Connecticut area, and we used to go down to Mystic Harbor, see all the clipper ships. And they're huge. Filled with wind. And you think of the winds just blowing it and carrying it. But just one little rudder, you turn it wherever you want it to go. You can master the ship. Just one little rudder. That's what your words do. Horses have bits, ships have rudders, and people have tongues. They all do the same thing. They set a course. And I'm going to say this too, that your life, you know, David Ingalls wrote a song. Don't think it's not important what you say, 'cause today you're the total of your talking yesterday. Oh, I don't sing those songs anymore, like born to lose and of the life before. Don't think it's not important what you say, 'cause today you're the total of your talking yesterday. That's what the Bible teaches.
Yes, sir.
It's what the Bible teaches. That may not sound like good news to some of you, but you know it really is. Because if you got yourself in that place by your own words, and you can get yourself out by your own words, you can change the whole course of your life. You can change the whole direction of your future. Yes. You can change the condition of your physical makeup, your body. You can invoke the healing power of God in your body. By this, if a man is able to bridle his tongue, he can control his whole body, the Bible says. Health, healing, strength. We're talking physical strength, mental strength, emotional strength, spiritual strength, and all kinds of strength. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Does that take on a little better meaning for you now? Mm-hmm. So, God has given us the authority to speak our own words, and as far as we know, we're the only ones who can do that. That is our right, that is our privilege, to choose our own words. So what the devil does, he does everything he can to get us to speak his words of death, his words of sin, his words of sickness and disease and torment. And then you speak them out of your own volition. Bingo! His bit just went right in your mouth when you spoke those words. And he can steer you wherever he wants because you've given him license. Ooh, doesn't that sound harsh? It's the truth. Did you come here just to feel good and say, oh, everything's going to be all right. Everything's just going to work out fine. No, it'll work out fine when you take the word of God and you start to speak it and you start to work it and you start to do it.
Amen.
That's when everything will turn out all right.
Amen.
But just to fluff it up and say, well, you know, everything's going to be all right. Amen. And get a little pat in the head and a cracker and a juice. Kick that religious spirit right out of the room. We're done with that.
Amen.
We're done with that. Now, I've painted kind of a negative picture here with this.
No, that's true.
But just as much as you can launch the laws of sin and death into your life with your own tongue, you're the one who can bring the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus with your own words. Take his words. Speak his words. Look at the way he responded to situations. Walk the same way. Respond the same way. You are a new creation. You are a species of being that never existed before Jesus rose from the dead. You are a new creation. You know, look at the world and all of the divisions. There's racial speech. Oh, racial stuff. You know, have you ever noticed that white people aren't white? They're beige. Or I don't know, whatever, pinkish. And black, they're not black. Some brown. There's differences in every culture. There's opportunity to get offended at just about anything.
Yeah.
And besides that, this is not your permanent color.
Right.
You were gifted with that color temporarily while you're here in the earth. All right? He is the the Father of lights. And when you get that glorified body, you are going to be lit up. It's going to be a glorious thing. And to reflect the glory of God. Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory! When God has surprises for you, that's all I can say. And if you have racial problems now, don't go to heaven. You will be very unhappy there. Because we're all there. All of it, you know, everybody. Amen? So let's enjoy one another. See where we can hook in and have fellowship around the Word of God, that where everything is level. Where we're all His. How do you get out in front? Change the game? Start speaking God's Word. How do you be led by the Spirit? Start speaking God's Word. How do you make God your source? Start speaking God's Word. When your body says, I'm sick, don't agree with it.
Amen.
Did God agree with the darkness, or did He say, light be? Amen. Be like your Father. Amen? Your body says, I'm sick. No, you're not! Amen. Get out of there!
Amen.
You obey me. Amen. You are. Paul said that. He says, I don't let my body tell me what it wants to do. I tell it what it's got to do.
Amen.
I possess my best vessel in honor.
Amen.
I possess my own vessel. This is not yours, devil.
Amen.
This is God's.
Amen.
Is God sick?
No.
Rest my case. But here's the way you get out in front. Make God your source. Make His Word your source. Be led and not driven. Resist the drive. When you feel the pressure, when you feel the forces, when you feel the shortages, start declaring God's Word.
Mm.
Yeah, I've heard all that before. I did that once, and it didn't work for me. No, it just did. Jesus said, you can have what you say. Mark 11:23. Right? He said, you can have what you say. If you say it doesn't work, you're right. If you say it doesn't work, you're right. If you say it does work, you're right. You can either agree with the situations, or you can agree with God's Word and watch the situation change. You can get out in front, change the game, and walk with God. Fellowship with God. Amen?
Amen.
Did that sit right?
Yes.
With you guys?
Yeah.
Or do you want more?
More.
More.
Yeah.
That was two of you.
We'll stick around.
The Word of God coming out of your mouth bridles heaven's supply. It bridles heaven's resources for you. It bridles everything, all the promises of God, the blessing of God. It bridles it all. Your words activate angels, warrior angels. Do you know what
Yes.
the Lord of hosts means? It means the Lord of armies, ready and equipped, ready to do battle for you, waiting for this, hearkening unto the voice of His Word. We have no idea the amount of authority. I'm going to close with this. When Jesus entered into Capernaum, by the way, that's where He lived, that's where His house was. There came unto Him a centurion beseeching Him, saying, Lord, my servant lies home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal. Very simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it got a little complicated. The centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say this to this man, and he goes, and another man comes, and he comes. And my servant, do this, and he does it. Then Jesus heard it and marveled, said, I've never found so great faith, not in Israel. This was a Roman centurion.
That's right.
But he understood authority. And you know what he called it? Faith. Walking in authority, in your authority, is walking in faith. God has delegated you all authority in earth. Let's use it. Let's speak it. Let's do it. Let's take this thing up and walk with it.
Amen.
Why not?
Yes.
What's stopping you? Can you think of any good reason why you shouldn't receive the blessings of God, why God wouldn't work for you, and He works for everybody else? If he worked with Saul of Tarsus,
that's right.
Believe me, he'll work for you.
That's right.
Have you ever killed a Christian? Don't answer that. There's a police officer here. Saul of Tarsus did. He ran into a pricker bush right outside of Damascus. It was a hedge around about Damascus from all the believers. Shortest salvation prayer in history. Lord! Lord. Changed kingdoms. That Saul of Tarsus died in that road to Damascus and he became a new creation.
Yes.
Right there. He became the righteousness of God in Christ. It says this. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That he might be made, that we might be made the righteousness of God. In the Old Testament, Abraham was accounted righteous. In the New Testament, we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. You've changed. God doesn't pretend you're something you're not. He calls you righteous. He means it. You have changed. You have a change inside of you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And as such, right standing with God, you can speak His word and expect it to come to pass. Amen.